Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. BerkshireEdge.com on the web, TheBerkshireEdge.com. We go through a few of the highlighted stories that you'll find all the time at TheBerkshireEdge.com. Let's bring in Marcy and Dave. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're here.
That's good.
Well, our
more or less.
Our lead story, by the way, is interesting. You're talking about speeders. We're talking about highways that don't work.
Well,
bridges that don't work.
Well, we'll start off with that because it's funny. You say let's start off with a mundane item, but Great
Not
Barrington.
Mundane.
Yeah, the Great Barrington really does have a.
Well, it also applies to Tuesday and Wednesday as well. We're having a the bridges in of Berkshire County, I guess, or at least of Great Barrington, is a story we ran this morning about several bridges that cross. Our town is bisected by the Housatonic River, and there are a number of six crossings of the bridge, of which two.
Crossing the river,
Of which two are now under repair. The bridges are under repair, and so it's a sign of all these bridges were more or less built at the same time, and so they're all beginning to age and need serious repair at the same time. So,
we are. Trying to figure out all kinds of circuitous routes to get anywhere.
Right.
You know, the major route that takes us to the bridge that takes us to Route 7 is out. And, we've got workarounds depending on which direction we want to go. But everybody in town is doing this. But the worst thing is that these are not. State bridges. These are local bridges, which means that the repair has to come out of the Great Barrington coffers.
Right. And there is a state bridge, a major state bridge crossing in Great Barrington that will soon also have to be repaired. And that will be a real nightmare when they do that. But, this is just infrastructure upkeep and maintenance that... I think it's been postponed a little past its time. So now it's time to pay the piper.
Yes, and it takes forever. I mean, there was a little bridge across the street from where we live that they repaired, I think, in 2010, and it's a small little bridge, and it took them a year to repair it. So these public repair jobs also take forever.
Well, what they should just do is take all the marijuana money and start devising.
That's a good idea.
I'm hoping that that's possible.
It is possible. Yeah, they can take that money and put it anywhere they want in the budget once the budget's approved.
That's true.
You take $1 million a quarter. Heck, you can replace the bridges in two quarters.
And then put up the others.
That's right. That's an infrastructure story that is rampant throughout the Northeast, not only in towns but in states as well.
We're talking about how you keep downtown healthy, and if people can't get there, it's a problem.
I forget the legislator in Louisiana, Huey Long. He claimed the way he kept getting reelected was he'd pave a certain amount of, there were dirt roads back then, he'd pave a certain amount of roads every 2 years, and he'd do it right before the 2 years before the election, and he'd always get reelected.
Yeah, he is known as the kingfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Great story. All right, now this is a story that I'm glad to see you're covering it because it's going to affect us here because we operate.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, we operate two local access TV stations that are owned by Comcast, but your South County Cable Advisory Panel is looking for the Attorney General to take a look at the FCC regulations. By the way, it's too late.
Yeah.
The FCC has already voted.
Explain what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's amazing because we get funding from Comcast, and I know now that it's just imagine how much they're going to cut in the funding that they give us, because the government basically has allowed them to charge things off against the local access company expenses.
Right.
And they're basically fake expenses, but they're allowing them to do it. And for us, we have one employee. But there's, you know, like your cable company up there, they have quite a few employees, and they have quite a huge budget.
And it's more than one. Oh, yeah. I mean, we have one in South County and one in North County,
one
in Lee and one in Pittsfield.
Yeah, and there's also in Williamstown, there's WillyNet, which is their cable company up there. So
maybe let's just explain to our listeners that this is part of the original cable franchise agreements. When cable companies were winning their franchises, they were required, I think by municipalities, not necessarily by the federal government, but they were required to allocate a certain number of channels for public access, and they were required to pay for the support of those public access stations or channels from the money they received from ratepayers. So these are, you know, these are the local town municipal access channels that have been in existence since we've had cable.
And now
the federal the FCC has decided that the cable companies can charge back to the public access companies all the costs of operating those that, you know, they're now giving to the public access.
And as someone who's got inside knowledge on this, the cable companies do not pay a dime to the local access companies. They charge an extra amount in their bills.
Every
subscriber pays something for local access. So this is not money that is coming out of the coffers of the cable company. It is the cable company actually dipping into the coffers of the small local access companies.
Right. Yep. And taking the money away.
Yeah. Right.
It's despicable.
It is despicable.
But think of what do cable access companies do mainly across every community that they're in. They show public meetings.
That's
the biggest. And you know what? This is a huge curtailment because a lot of these companies are not going to be able to show what they do. And this curtails the public's right to know.
That's right.
That seems to be the theme of the day of current administration, doesn't it?
It's just unbelievable, and people will start screaming when it's too late and it's gone, and they're going to have to wait for another president to come in and change another member on the FCC and vote to get it all back again. So everybody's going to have to wait at least 2.5 to 3 years.
Right.
It's just a terrible situation.
You're assuming that the administration will change.
Well, that's at the earliest it's going to be 2.5 years.
That is a big assumption.
Yeah. Well, one has to have hope. I'm sorry, folks. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. All right.
Well, it looks like Netanyahu is has failed.
He'll somehow stay in the government with this other guy. You see, he's a shrewd one.
Anyway,
let's go on to the. But anyway, you're in Connecticut. You're listening to New York, not necessarily. New York's just terrible with cable. But in Connecticut and Massachusetts, read this story because it's going to affect you locally. Now we talked about marijuana money earlier, and here we go back to the marijuana story, and this is an interesting story.
Yes, it is. An outfit named Fulcrum has got permission from the select board, or has applied for a special permit to have in an industrial zone in the little hamlet of Housatonic, which is part of a village of Great Barrington. There's a little used gravel pit that is
an unused gravel pit.
Well, there are some. Looks like there are some trucks that go in and out of there sometimes. Yeah. But in any case, this outfit named Fulcrum was going to build a number of greenhouses and warehouses for growing and processing marijuana. And the neighbors across the street from where this would be, and it's not exactly a right across the street, where this proposed complex would be is actually in a lower elevation, so I don't think you could really see it. But in any case, there's a railroad track and a road, and then this is just a few houses. And those neighbors are really upset about this proposed marijuana complex. And it appears that, and they've been really showing up en masse.
Oh, they sure have.
At the select board meeting and the planning board meeting, trying to convince them not to give a special permit to this, to Fulcrum. But it seems that their objection is not, I don't think that, for example, if there was a greenhouse growing roses, that they would object.
Yeah.
I think they're objecting to the product. Here.
Yeah, but it's complicated because this will be greenhouses to grow marijuana plants on a large scale and a processing plant to extract oils from, to dry the product and extract oils from it. What the locals are saying is that there's a smell. And I think, it's correct that our select board try to check that out by looking at other communities. And I think on the West Coast in Oregon, there may be some communities where, there's been an issue of smell. So that really does need to be checked out. The other thing they're concerned about is that, and by the way, Fulcrum has said that it is hiring an odor engineer who will make sure that the anything coming from the plant will be remedied. Apparently, what they're saying is that once a year, when the plants are in bloom, there is an odor. But we live in the country, and I live across the street from a farm, and I smell manure. And it's not necessarily that objectionable. And but what we don't know is the degree to which this odor will prevail in the community and be unpleasant. But the other things, I think, have been addressed. They are concerned that there will be lights. The company has responded that the lights will all be motion sensor, so they won't be on unless somebody tries to break in. And they're also, the other complaint is that it's really not creating a lot of jobs. And the company does say that there will be maybe, two or three people in the beginning. I don't know what comes later, but only two or three jobs created. And the community,
however, there is a lot of revenue.
A lot of revenue.
For the town.
Right. But people don't want it in their community. And again, I think, as David says, it's as much a question about the product as it is about the existence of a plant near their homes. Because right now, that place is extremely unsightly. If you're living across the street from it, you're also living across the street from railroad tracks and solar arrays. And it's not a picturesque scene. And the plant has said that it will really make it much more attractive. They'll plant trees between the road and the greenhouses, so it will likely end up being a much more attractive place to look at. So I think the issue really is the odor, and I think that there is a way for the town to investigate that, and I'm hoping they will.
All right, we'll move on to the next story, and that is, and I've seen this myself, I haven't seen a skateboarder get struck, but I've seen people come close to getting struck In Great Barrington, they're going to have stricter enforcement of speed limits.
Well, this is this ties into what you were talking about right before we came on, doesn't it? I mean, people are speeding through the center of town.
Right, and so the Bill Walsh, the Great Barrington police chief, has pledged that there will be more patrols of Main Street to make sure that speeding cars are not hitting pedestrians or skateboarders, for that matter, who are crossing in the crosswalks. I mean, it is sort of a speedway. You know, a few years ago, they enlarged the downtown corridor, but it's also making it from three lanes to four lanes, and so now it's a little bit more tempting for drivers to kind of zoom up and down. And I cross those crosswalks every day, and you do feel a little intimidated, I'll tell you.
Because the cars are supposed to stop if you're in the crosswalk. But they don't necessarily see you in the crosswalk.
Well, that's right. The whole thing. I mean, whenever I drive through Great Barrington, and I'm not a teetotaler, I don't drive slow and everything, but when I drive through Great Barrington, I just go incredibly slow by the crosswalks for one reason. You have to stop when the people are in the crosswalk. But if you're going slow enough and there's a lot of traffic and there's a lot of activity, it's just a smart thing to do. I mean, it's not going to cost you. If you have to slow down to 2 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, four times going through the center of Great Barrington, it's going to cost you about 18 seconds on the other end.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, come on. It's ridiculous.
It is. It is. But, you know, the problem is that we also have these new bump outs.
Yep.
And which were part of this,
part of the curbs.
Curbs. And, It makes it difficult to see who's standing there too.
And the bump outs, one of the things the bump outs are meant to do is slow traffic.
But they don't.
Well, you know, one of the things that is a problem too is that the vehicles these days are rather large. You know, so somebody can be because cars are parked along the sidewalk. You know, someone venturing out onto a crosswalk. It can be obscured by, you know, these rather large
sport utility vehicle.
Yeah.
Utility vehicles are just plain old SUVs,
yeah,
you know.
Sport utility.
And so it's a little bit more difficult to see pedestrians, that's it.
All right. I want to go on to our good friends over at Berkshire Grown.
Yes. Well, we our next two stores, and we have two major events for really important organizations coming up. The first one is a dinner on Monday night for Berkshire Grown, which is, I think most of your listeners probably know, it's a very important organization that supports farmers and supports the whole farm-to-table movement.
Right, and especially organic farming, responsible farming. And
sustainable farming.
Right. So let's put it that way. So they every year they have what they call a harvest supper, and they hold it at Butternut, this ski area, and it's packed to the gills. It's just terrific because you go there, and everybody, all the restaurants and the farms who are producing this delicious food are all there in their little stations, and you have such a tasty array. It's amazing.
Yes, and you get your little plate,
right,
and you go from station to station, and you taste what it is that each restaurant or farm has to offer, and it's, you know, no dieting on Monday night because the food is delicious. I mean, there's soups.
And you discover whole new tastes and new concoctions that you've never seen before or never tasted before,
right.
So it's great.
And of course, it's a fundraiser for Berkshire Grown, and it does provide them with a lot of revenue. So,
but can you match that together with, because you can, all the weight that you gain, you can lose at the next fundraiser.
Oh, well, that's true.
Well, it moves slowly, though. So on this coming Sunday, the 22nd, we have the annual march that's sponsored by Construct, Inc. Now, Construct is an organization that's very well known but not as well understood as it should be. And this is their 50th anniversary, and we've been running articles, for the last 6 months on what Construct is. Because most people think of Construct as the organization that sponsors a march once a year, but that's not the purpose of the organization. The purpose of the organization is to try to provide shelter for people who are homeless and who need housing. And so they provide, first of all, an emergency shelter, and then they also build and manage housing for
affordable housing
for people. They have a number of housing developments. I don't want to say projects because project is a stigma.
No, they're little houses.
They're
actually
they're charming little housing developments, which they not only have built, and they work with the Community Development Corporation of Southern Berkshire also, but they not only have developed them, but they also run them. They administer them, and people are very lucky to get into them, and they're raising money, to maintain these shelters and to build and maintain the shelters and the housing and to build more. And so it's all,
yeah, it's really amazing, this walk from Butternut Ski Area into town, which is 3 or 4 miles, the people, huge, hundreds of people take part in this march to support support the homeless and support affordable housing for people. And it's Construct is 50 years old this year, and it's such a wonderful organization.
Right. And it's very interesting about the sort of the fundraising scene. David has to go now. He has to take.
Well, we have to go now too, because we're out of time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we're out of stories.
So how perfect was that?
Well, we're not out of stories. We're out of the stories we suggested
we're just
talk about. But there are many other stories
online at the
that
Berkshire
can be read
Edge
on our site.
That's right, theberkshireedge.com.
Right.
All right, guys, have fun and get those kids to school, David.
Yep. Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Thanks.
That is this morning's Berkshire Edge. On air, theberkshireedge.com.